to the book of 2 Kings chapter 19. Read the first four verses, and then we want to read verses 14 through verse 20. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, that is unto Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Syria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou prayest to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. The following the reign of Solomon, it was a major turning point in the history of Israel, one that is crucial in understanding the Old Testament. And that was the dividing of Israel into two nations. Israel has a united kingdom, lasted through the reigns of Saul and David and Solomon's and Solomon. At Solomon's death, it was assumed, of course, that his son Rehoboam would succeed him. Upon the death of Solomon, Rehoboam's coronation at Shechem was planned. But Rehoboam was met by a delegation of 10 of the 12 tribes, headed by a man by the name of Jeroboam. And this delegation requested that Rehoboam promise to reduce taxes. The king-elect was granted 3 days to consider the matter. And instead of taking the advice of his father's counselors, which said, lower the taxes, he sought the advice of his own counselors, which said, raise them as high as you can. And it was announced that his little finger would be thicker than his father's loins. In other words, if you thought Dad had high taxes, you haven't seen anything yet. That was basically the message he gave to the people. The delegation withdrew from the coronation ceremonies. Later on, they stoned the tax collector that Rehoboam had sent. The 10 tribes proceeded to elect Jeroboam as their king, thereby establishing an independent kingdom that would become known from that point on as Israel, or the Northern Kingdom. The Lord Rehoboam, king-elect, the king, would have been his desire, of course, to declare war on these 10 tribes, but the Lord did not allow him to do so. And the two kingdoms became an established fact. From this point on, Israel, the 10 tribes, became known as the Northern Kingdom. And Judah, the 2 tribes, became known as the Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom, through its history, had 19 kings, every one of them bad. All bad kings. For a total of 242 years, the Southern Kingdom, Judah, consisted of 20 kings. They had bad kings, but intermingled in the bad with the bad kings, they had some very good kings. And their kingdom lasted a total of 393 and a half years. Our text records an event that took place during the reign of Judah's 13th king, Hezekiah. And we want to consider 2 main points in this message. First of all, we want to see the background of the text. We'll look at several verses all in the neighborhood here of 2 Kings 19. And then we want to see Hezekiah's act as it serves as an encouragement and a challenge to God's people today. The subject of the message is what to do in threatening and troubled times. Again, we'll look at the background of the text. We must begin with the reign of Hezekiah. Just prior to the reign of Hezekiah was the reign of his father. His name was Ahaz, and he reigned for 16 years. We're told in 2 Kings 16 and 2, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God. Ahaz, again just prior to Hezekiah, was a bad king. His reign is summarized in 2 Kings 16, verses 3 and 4. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, the Northern Kingdom, who were all bad kings. Yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. In the course of 16 years, there was a great spiritual decline in the nation. They had moved further and further from God. They had abandoned the worship of God. And they were in conformity with the heathen. They were in conformity with the ungodly nations that were all around them. We learn from 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 24 that Ahaz cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made them altars in every corner of Jerusalem. We mention all of that because these were the conditions in which Hezekiah began to reign. You see, when Hezekiah began to reign, Judah was in a very advanced stage of sin. In 2 Kings 18, we see what transpired under Hezekiah. In verse 1, it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea. Hoshea was the last king of Israel, of that northern kingdom. The son of Elah, the king Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So we have the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. Verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4, he removed the high places. He broke the images. He cut down the groves. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. And he called it Nehushtan, which simply means a piece of brass, which is exactly what it was. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him, after Hezekiah, was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord God commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Syria, and served him not. We see also that God gave him victories. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza. So a revival was taking place. Notice over in 2 Chronicles 29, we see some more concerning this reign of Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3, the Lord said unto him, Hear me, Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. Also, verse 7, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place and unto the God of Israel. And we see all of this was being changed under Hezekiah. It was a time of spiritual reviving. Again, back in 2 Kings 18 and verse 1, Hezekiah began his reign in the third year of Hoshea, the last king of the northern kingdom. During this period of revival that was going on, there was a major change in circumstances. After years of the northern kingdom embracing idolatry, immorality, debauchery, and after years of insensitivity toward the messengers and toward the message of God, God raised up a man by the name of Shalmaneser, king of Syria. He emboldened this man and he empowered him to go against the northern kingdom, Israel. Keep in mind, Hezekiah is king of the southern kingdom. Don't get the two confused. Now notice in 2 Kings 18 and verse 9, And it came to pass in the fourth year of Hezekiah, reigning in Judah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And we learn from verse 10 that in 3 years, the northern kingdom falls to Assyria. During this time, great revival was taking place in Judah. And Judah, no doubt, had heard of the fall of Israel, the fall of the northern kingdom. And after Shalmaneser comes a man by the name of Sennacherib. And he came forth, he came in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, we learn in 2 Kings 18 and verse 13. So there's Judah. They're enjoying a time of revival. They're enjoying a time of refreshing. And Sennacherib shows up. And mark it down. During a time of revival, the devil will always show up. He's always going to show up. Some way, somehow. About 8 years after the fall of the northern kingdom, we learn this from verse 10 to verse 13. You can put this together. About 8 years after the fall of the northern kingdom, Sennacherib shows up, and Hezekiah, a man who has walked with God, a man who has been used of God to spark a great revival, a man who lived for God, now instead of trusting God who led him to do right, becomes scared because of Sennacherib. And he begins to think, perhaps I should have been paying tribute to Assyria all this time. I've made a mistake. And in 2 Kings 18, verses 14 through 16, there is an attempt by Hezekiah. He takes the things of the house of God and gives them to Sennacherib. He's trying to appease the wicked king. There's a valuable lesson here. Don't try to appease the heathen. It won't work. It won't work. In verse 17, in an attempt to scare Judah, Sennacherib sends three of his chief men with a great host to Hezekiah. And in verse 18, Hezekiah sends out three men to meet him. Meet them. And in the following verses, the representatives of Sennacherib tell these three men of Hezekiah, and in the hearing of some people, you go and tell Hezekiah that we're going to destroy you. We're going to destroy you. You will not be able to get help from anybody because there is nobody stronger than us. You will not be able to get help from Egypt. You'll not be able to get help from any other nation. And by the way, not even your God will be able to help you. You go and you tell Hezekiah that that's a message from Sennacherib. So there it is. The man of God, the people of God, the kingdom of God, the work of God, are being threatened. We see in verse 37 of 2 Kings 18 that the three men that Hezekiah had sent out, they return unto Hezekiah. It says they did so with their clothes rent. And they told him the message from Sennacherib, which was, so this brought on a time of great fear. Dread and horror began to fill the hearts of the people of God. And that brings us to what Hezekiah did. Keep in mind, up to this point, he had tried to appease the wicked king. The result of that was, we're going to destroy you. But then, in 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah, having received this message, begins to reach out to God. Verse 1 of chapter 19, it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered him with sackcloth, covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. He rent his clothes and covered himself in sackcloth. We have a picture here of sadness, a picture of humility, a picture of reverence, a picture of repentance. We also read that he went into the house of the Lord. He is now seeking the face of God. In verses 2 and 3, he sends out Eliakim and Shebna and the elders of the priest. And he says, you go down to Isaiah the preacher. And you tell Isaiah what Sennacherib has said. Hezekiah is reaching out to the Lord. So he sends these men to Isaiah with this message in verse 3. This is a day of trouble. That is, Isaiah, we have problems. We have great concerns. This is a day of trouble and of rebuke. That is, we have experienced the reprimands and threats of the enemy. And it is a day of blasphemy, a day of profanity and irreverence. And he went on to say there in verse 3, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. What he is saying is this, Isaiah, we as a nation are like a woman in travail. We have no strength left, and we need help. Isaiah, we need help. We need help right now. So Hezekiah has gotten past taking matters into his own hand, trying to appease a heathen king. Hezekiah has gotten past leaning upon his own understanding. Hezekiah has gotten past depending upon his own strength. And now we see Hezekiah, he's seeking God. He's seeking the Lord. He received a message from God or from Isaiah in verses 6 and 7. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Don't be afraid of the threats with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold I. That is, Hezekiah, get your mind off of their words and behold me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now from what we read in verses 10 through 13, we're not going to go there now just for time's sake, I believe that you can correctly assume that Hezekiah, after he got this message from Isaiah, sent a message of his own to Sennacherib, rejecting his call to surrender, stating the assurances that he had just received in God. And in response to this, Hezekiah receives a letter from Sennacherib, stating, Hezekiah, we're going to destroy you. Your God is weak. You are weak. You better wake up, Hezekiah. We outnumber you. We are mightier than you. So you might as well surrender and give in to us. We read in verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. In verses 10 through 13, we see the contents of this letter. It was a letter that would attack the faith of Hezekiah. Thus shall you speak unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall be delivered, shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. Oh, Hezekiah, don't believe these false promises that you've received from God. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them. Shalt thou be delivered? Shall you be any different? Verse 12, he mentions all the gods that have fallen in these other lands. Verse 13, this letter asks, where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sivarvaim, of Hena and Iva? Where are these kings? This is the way of Satan. This is what the devil does. He attacked the faith of Hezekiah. He does so by mentioning the victories that he has attained. An attempt to cause distress and fear in Hezekiah, what does Satan do? He presents his resume. Satan does that all the time. He comes and he presents his resume. Basically, what Sennacherib was saying was, I got that nation, I got that nation, I got that nation, I got that nation. Destroyed them all. You're next. Satan comes with his resume. He says, I got him, and I got him, and I got him, and I got her, and I got her, and I got this house, and I got this marriage. This is what happens when people get depressed. And they say, oh, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one? They've been presented with a resume from Satan, and they fall for it. You know the thing to do when Satan presents his resume? You present God's. That may be true. Yes, Satan got him, and Satan got him, and Satan got him, and Satan got her, and her, and her, and this home, and this marriage, but he hasn't gotten him yet, and he hasn't gotten him yet, and he hasn't gotten him. Present God's resume. Oh, I can't tell you how many. Oh, what are we going to do, Brother Dan? Do you realize how many have fallen? You have fallen prey to the resume of Satan. Don't allow that to happen. God has a resume that is greater than Satan's. This was an attack upon the faith of Hezekiah. And when the devil gets you to thinking about all the people that have fallen, that's exactly what it is. It is an attack upon your faith. Get your eyes upon those that haven't fallen and those that God has delivered. Present God's resume. So Hezekiah receives this letter. Here it is. Letter. Hezekiah has this letter. It's in his hand. It's an intimidating letter. It is a menacing letter. It is a taunting letter. It's an harassing letter. And over here, there is the force of the Assyrians. And they are on the verge of attacking Judah. They are waging psychological warfare against the people of God. And that's what's going on today. Don't fall for it. Psychological warfare against the people of God. God had promised through Isaiah to Hezekiah, Judah will be delivered. But it hadn't happened yet. In fact, nothing has changed. And there's Hezekiah with this letter. There's Hezekiah with this threatening and blasphemous letter from the enemies, from the army of Assyria. There he is. Notice verse 15. Or verse 14. And spread it before the Lord. What's Hezekiah going to do with this letter? He can sit down and he can read it every day. And all he's going to do is get weaker and weaker. Stress himself out. He can highlight portions of the letter and dwell on that. That's not what he did. It says that he went up into the house of the Lord and he spread the letter out. I don't know how many pages the letter was, but he spread the letter out. And he said, God! There he is! Hezekiah didn't give God a synopsis of the letter. Hezekiah didn't give his opinion of what the letter said. He just said, God, there it is. There's the letter. Then we see verses 16 through 19. Hezekiah, we see in verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed. So there's that letter. And there's Hezekiah down on his knees, I'm sure, praying. And all he's saying is, God, look at the letter. Lord, would you hear? Read his prayer in verses 16 through 19. God, would you listen to what this wicked king is saying? He goes on, said he prayed, and we see he prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. And we see that he begins to plead before God. And he asks God to deliver Israel. Why? In verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee. So there's Hezekiah. He spread it all out before God. And he's pleading with God. He's saying, God, I beseech thee. I beg you, Lord. Deliver us. And here's why. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. He prayed for the sake of God's honor. Usually, we want God to answer for our sake or for the sake of someone else. But Hezekiah just spreads out the letter doesn't give his opinion of the letter, doesn't give a synopsis of the letter. He just says, Lord, there it is. He's saying, God, wipe out the Assyrians so that everyone will know that you're God. That should be our motivation in prayer. Lord, spare us so that everyone will know that you are God. That you are God. Whatever it is today in our life, needs, cares, burdens, sorrows, trials, circumstances, temptations, battles with Satan, threats from the enemy, that which just overwhelms us. We must learn to take all our matters to God. We need to learn and always remember that nothing we face is unknown to God. Nothing we face is bigger than God. Nothing we face is insurmountable to God. And it needs to be our constant practice to just spread it before the Lord. There it is. We bring our problem. You don't even have to explain the problem. Just spread it before God and say, God, there it is. There it is, Lord. Save us so that others may know that you're God. There it is, God. Do something so that others may know that you are God. Hezekiah began to plead with God on the basis of who God was. And we need to plead with God not on the basis of the size of your problem, but on the basis of who God is. So we read in verse 14 that Hezekiah went up with letter in hand, went up to the house of God, and he spread it before the Lord. We need to look at that letter. Spread before the Lord. Look at it. See that letter spread before the Lord. And I must ask, is there that which you need to just let go of and spread it before the Lord? Now, before you can spread the letter before the Lord, you know what you have to do? You have to let go of it. You have to let go of it. Are there some things that you just need to let go of and spread it before God? And plead with God. You may have to only plead for a couple of minutes. You may have to plead the rest of your life concerning that letter. That's God's business. But you just take it and spread it before Him. Say, Lord, there it is. There it is. Is there anything that we need to just let go of and spread before the Lord, and pray on the basis of who God is, and pray for His honor and for His glory. Lord, there it is. Would you take care of it, Lord? Not that I'll feel better, but Lord, so that people will know that you are God. Would you just take care of it? As I have said in the past, many messages, There's no problem that God's not the solution for. So whatever the problem is, spread it before God. Oh, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do something about this. Spread it before God. Spread it before God. Lord, there it is. There's that wicked letter from Sennacherib. There it is, Lord. Just spread it before Him. Don't put it in your desk drawer and read it every other day. Don't go to bed with it. Don't always carry it in your Bible just in case if you have an opportunity to show it to someone. Just spread it before God. That's what Hezekiah did. There's no need that God cannot provide. Spread it before the Lord. There's no obstacle that He cannot overcome. So whatever obstacle you face today, spread it before the Lord. There's nothing broken that He cannot mend. So whatever it is that's broken, chances are you've the one that broke it. But whatever it is that's broken, spread it before the Lord. There's nothing ruined that He cannot restore. So whatever ruins are in your life, spread it before God and pray. There's no load that He cannot carry. Whatever the load is, spread it before God. There's no life that He cannot salvage. Spread it before God. Pray. Pray that God would salvage lives. Not because it's your son, not because it's your daughter or grandson or granddaughter, but so that people will know that He is God. Salvage their lives. Upend the lives of people. Upend the lives of church members. Upend their lives. So that people will know that You are God. This is what Hezekiah did. There's no storm that He cannot calm. Spread it before God. There's no wayward direction that He cannot reverse. There's no wound that He cannot heal. You can't fight the Lord's battle. You can't be engaged in this warfare and not get some wounds along the way. You'll get some wounds from fellow soldiers. There's a couple things you can do with those wounds. You can carry them close to your heart. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget what they said. And you can render yourself useless. Or you can take that wound and spread it before the Lord. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to give your opinion on it. You don't have to give a synopsis of it. You just say, Lord, there it is. Lord, there it is. And I plead because of who You are, Lord, that You would heal that wound. Not that I'll feel better, but so that people will know that You're God. You're God. You know, if we would learn to just let go and spread things before the Lord, there's a lot of junk, there's a lot of letters, not literal, that wouldn't even make it into the house of God. Because you just left it and you spread it before the Lord. Listen, there are attacks coming from all directions. as there was in Hezekiah's day. Keep in mind when this happened. It was a time of spiritual reviving. I said last week, maybe week before, I don't know. But from conversations, it's obvious. The Lord has dealt in lives. And that some folks are getting it. And being revived. I promise you, Sennacherib is showing up. He's going to come in any moment. He's going to show up. What are we going to do when he does? We're going to spread it before the Lord. Just spread it before God. The devil, the world, our sinful flesh is warring against you. But you're not in this thing by yourself. There is a God. There is a God in heaven. He's high and he's lifted up. But as high as he is, as high lifted up as he is, he's willing to look all the way down upon insignificant me. What an amazing thing. You realize how insignificant each and every one of us are. And God is willing to look down. And I can spread that letter before the Lord. And the God who reigns over the universe is willing to look down upon that letter, whatever it is. So whatever it is today in your life, and we all have things, every one of us, spread it before the Lord. Just spread it before the Lord and pray. Beseech God. If there ever was a day that God's people ought to be pleading with God, it's today. We're mixed up. We're a mess. And when I say we, I'm talking about God's people. We're a mess. We blame everybody else for problems. There's no ownership of anything. Very little pleading going on because it's easier to just blame someone else. And your life just continues to be more and more and more and more of a mess. When will we learn to take that letter in our hand, go up into the house of God, spread it before the Lord, get down on our faces and plead with God? It seems to me that we ought to be pleading. Pleading with God every single day. But we don't, for the most part. Spread it before God. Plead with the Lord. You don't have to carry these things around with you everywhere you go. Let go of it. Spread it before God. It works. Every one of us here knows it works. That's what's so confusing, because there's been some time in our life when we've done this and it worked. And you'd think, well, if it works, seems to me I ought to do this. And we know what doesn't work. And yet that's what we have the tendency to do. And that's why I say we're messed up. I mean, it's just plain crazy. It's insane. Go up to God. Spread it before the Lord. Whatever it is today. I'm not promising you that God will fix it. But I'm telling you, your life will be a lot easier if you just spread it before God. Say, God, there it is. There it is. Somebody says something about you or to you. Best thing to do, I know it's not the flesh that's going to lead you to do this. Best thing to do is go home and say, God, you heard what they said. There they are, Lord. Take care of it. It works. God help us to learn this valuable lesson from Hezekiah. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in song.